All right, thank you. Thank you. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to familiar passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. It's always a joy to preach here. And good job, fellas. Very, very cute. Now, and thank you guys for singing. I appreciate that. And a great song. I love preaching. I don't look for places to preach. I don't tell them, Brother Collins. I don't get up in the morning thinking and hoping I get to preach somewhere today. But whenever asked, I never turn it down unless I physically can't do it or can't be there. But I must admit, and I may have said this before in here, but one of the few places in the entire world that I really get nervous preaching at is College Chapel here. And I have ever since I first started preaching, ever since I graduated from college and as a young youth pastor got to preach here my first time, and I was scared out of my mind. And the preparation and the prayer goes into every time I get up. And once I start and read my Bible, I'm fine and I get through it. But I'm not confident as to what the reason is for my intrepidation. I just know how important it is to be able to speak to a group of young people who have a heart for God. I mean, I spent my life as a youth pastor, the better part of it, trying to encourage young people to have a heart for God, and I encourage that, and I still work hard doing that, and then to have a room full of them, to me, it's really a great responsibility, and I take it as that. I enjoy it. I enjoy being here. I enjoy hearing you sing. And you're the best singing college in the world, and I mean that. And I appreciate it. But I want to help you today, and I don't want to be unkind to anybody today, but I'm going to be frank on some things that I think are very important, some things that I've seen, some things that I participate in that may allow me to see young people, not just in Christian circles, but also in the public circles. And I help coach a wrestling team. I'll probably mention that a few times because for illustrations. But we get into a lot of public schools, and I compare our kids, just not to be judgmental, but I assess our young men and their young men. And I'll be honest with you, I'm thankful for a Christian school, Christian education, a fundamental Baptist church that a kid can grow up in. I thank for Christian schools like Brother Falk has and his wife. And I appreciate all of that because I think it turns out a type of young person that's different than the average, if I may call it, public school kid. And I'm not down beating them or anything, but the truth is there are some things that we need to look at honestly, even in our own realm now. So I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to look in verse 1. We're going to read just a few verses, and then we're going to turn over to chapter 4. Paul, of course, as you, Brother Wilkerson has taught well on Timothy here, so I won't spend a lot of time giving you a backstory here, but Paul is trying to teach a young man some principles of life, and he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Verse 3 is our text verse. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Turn over to chapter 4, if you would, please. And look down in verse 6, let's start there. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Father, we ask your blessing to be on the message. Help me to help Help me not to hurt. Help me to encourage. Help me not to discourage. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll work in my heart as well in the hearts of every young person here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can talk to any youth pastor in the country, any pastor for that matter, and you'll find the same rhetoric coming from their lips that our young people are soft today. Our young people are soft. They're soft mentally, they're soft physically, they're soft spiritually. And it's weird how all three act together. I have a lot of junior hires on our wrestling team this year, and only between our sixth grade through our freshman, I could only had two of them. There's 13 in that group. Only two of them could do a push-up. So it has nothing to do with public or private school. Truth is, probably more could do it in a public school. But they're soft. They're soft. And, you know, part of what we do is to train, and that's what we're doing. But mentally and physically and spiritually, our young people are soft. Why aren't more kids going to Bible college? Because they're soft. Why aren't more kids surrendering to the mission field? Because spiritually they're soft. They want to live a spiritual life, but they don't want to endure hardness. They don't want to do what it takes to become a good soldier. We are overprotected. You are. All of you probably told your parents what's going on today three times. Anytime anything bad happens, you immediately call your mom and dad. And anything bad happens to you, you get them on your side right away. And it's just a fact. And it happens at Ham Baptist, it happens in the public school, and to where authority can talk to somebody that drives a public school bus. They'll tell you horror stories. How these kids are overprotected by their parents, and they will literally cuss a bus driver out worse than any sailor would know how to do. And the fact is that their parents won't defend the bus driver, won't defend authority. We live in a very overprotected, I mean, you know, the old bicycle helmet thing. Good night, man alive. If I wore a bicycle helmet as a kid, they'd have taken it off me and beat me with it. Now, I'm not against, I say it everywhere I go, but, you know, I preach on this kind of a thing. I'm not against bike helmets. I just think they look stupid, and I'm not really sure that they do a whole lot of good. What's even more ridiculous is to watch a skydiver wearing a helmet. That just is like the most ridiculous thing in the world. But if your chute doesn't open, you have your helmet. Hold on to it very tightly. I don't get that one, but we have young people that don't know how to work a full 8-hour day. We have college students that don't know how to do that. We have young people that call home and freak out when it gets too cold. We also have young people that won't go to camp because it's too hot. If the dorm doesn't have air conditioning in it, they won't go to that camp. And that's a fact. Now, I'm personally thankful for the air conditioning at camp. But that's truth. A camp can't survive without having air conditioning in their dorms. We don't even clean up for ourselves anymore. Our wrestling team a couple years ago cleaned up after we left a McDonald's, and I had a lady come all the way out to the bus and said, "I've never seen teenagers do that." And I was pleased to hear that. However, I was saddened too. That is sad. And today we record attacks and mayhem on our cell phones instead of interceding and helping those being afflicted. And we make mockery of it, make fun of it, make sport of it. And what kids need today in order to become independent adults and functional adults is now what's frowned upon. We have so many screens that we never get bored. And boredom is the mother of invention. Usually trouble, actually. But it's it makes us creative. It makes us think of new things. But with all of our screens, we become soft. We search for the safe spaces in this world. You do too. You look for the safe job. You look for the easy job. You look for the best paying job so you don't have to work as many hours. And we're not strong enough to endure hardness. When I was a senior at Hammond Baptist, we had football at our school at that time. I'll be using a lot of back in the day stuff, okay? Just so don't think I'm too old. But we were men then. But back in the day, we had football, and I remember I was co-captain of our football team. And on my senior year in high school, I worked at United Parcel Service in up in Chicago, Bedford Park, and a long drive, and ended up with making about 2.5 hours of sleep every night, playing football, being involved in the youth program, and never missed church and stuff like that. But you know, throughout that time, I had went in the ditch 3 times, took out 2 mailboxes, and wrecked my car. Those were difficult times. But I remember when I would come home from football practice, I would put my football equipment and my pads, my pants and my jersey next to the washing machine. My mom would wash them, and then she'd put it all back in the shirt. And I would grab it in the morning when I'd come back from work. I'd get about an hour's sleep then, and I'd go off to school. Went to practice one time, and my mother had forgot to put in my bag my helmet. And I remember walking out in practice, and I was co-captain, and you don't know who Coach Klingensmith is, and he was our football coach. He worked at the college here, and he had played semi-pro football, and he was a good man, but he was also a mean man. And he was our coach, and we were standing up for a calisthenics, and he looked over. He said, "Lupino, where's your helmet?" And without thinking, and my mind was tired, and I was exhausted, and I said, "My mother forgot to pack it." And as soon as those words, the word "it," got out of my mouth, I wanted to just reach in and grab it and pull it back. Realizing that I just had made one of the biggest blunders of all time. And immediately he stopped and he looked at me, and everybody got silent. The birds stopped chirping, cars pulled over. It was awful. And he said, "Your mom forgot to pack your helmet? Your mother forgot to pack your helmet. His mother forgot to pack his helmet." Throughout the entire practice, everything was, "His mother, guys, his mother forgot to pack his helmet." And that joker, what he did is he made me run every drill, every play. I was an offensive guard without my helmet. I played football that afternoon the whole time like this. And I was going in. I was begging the defensive linemen and the linebackers to go easy on me. Remember, go easy on me, go easy on me, you know. And just protecting my head. Never forgot my helmet again. But however, if that coach had done that today, he'd be all over the news. When to me, 50 years later, I'm still bitter. I still haven't gotten over it. That's why I became a youth director. I got hit in the head too many times. But the fact is, we live in a soft world. We search for softness. We try our best to get out of difficult tasks. You know, I'll say more about the story at the end, but Shackleton's Voyage is a book, and every young person ought to read. The journey that he took just to stand at the foot of Antarctica, it was absolutely one of the most heroic voyages of all time. And what he suffered and how they suffered. The Great Raid, or The Ghost Soldiers, as the book is called, a great read for young men, young ladies, to see what during World War II at the end, what a group of kids, all under the age of 21 except for one major, went in one of the most daring raids on a POW camp, saving over 500 prisoners of war. Those were kids back then. Most of them wouldn't have qualified to get their CDL. But they were willing to put it all on the line. I've been reading Brother Tom Vogel's book on growing up in Vietnam, one of the best war books I've ever read. A must read for anybody that wants to find out a little bit more about what a man should be and what a man should do. So here the Bible teaches us here, as we read already in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at it one more time with me, please. In verse 3, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness." Endure hardness. And many of you think, well, you know what? I am tough. I want to endure hardness. I can endure hardness. You know what? Here's the deal. You don't know if you can. And you won't if you're not a good soldier. Because it says, endure hardness as a good soldier. We think we get to become a good soldier by enduring hardness. No, you become a good soldier and then you learn to endure hardness. We need to stop finding excuses and start finding solutions for things in our life. We need to start learning how to become a good soldier and stop worrying about whether or not we're going to have to do hard things. And the making of a good soldier that gives you what you need, gives you the tools that you need to become somebody that can endure hardness. And everyone is tough until they meet up with a giant. You look at the story of David and you realize, man, what a great feat. He defeated Goliath. And you know what? And it looked easy to him according to how we read it. But David learned to be a defender of sheep long before he ever was a giant slayer. And we, athletes think they, well, I'm strong. I can handle anything. You've never endured hardness yet. And by the way, you don't get to decide on what hardness that comes your way. You don't get to pick it out. Life does. Life does. God knows what's happening. God knows what you need to go through. God knows what kind of soldier you need to become. God knows what you need to learn. Well, Brother Eddie, what's a good soldier then? Well, let me give you a couple quick thoughts here. Number one, a good soldier listens to instruction. He enjoys the training. He doesn't like it, but he enjoys it because he knows it's making him better. We all enjoy a day off school. I did as well as a teacher. But the fact is, you know what? We ought to enjoy increasing what we know. We ought to enjoy the training that we get. We ought to be prepared. You mentioned EMT class, right? Listen, if I were going back to be a youth director again, I definitely would have taken that course. I've almost killed so many kids. I'd have been a paramedic by now. But the fact is that is something that, well, I don't know if I. Hey, listen, you'll never not use your learning. It'll come in handy somewhere. I mean, if you can't pass a class, how can you be a good soldier? You can't get your work on time, how can you become a good soldier? Yeah, but I'm tough. No, you're not. You haven't seen hardness yet. You don't know how bad it's going to be. He obeys orders. He obeys orders. I told the leadership class last week, I said, you girls, you never ought to date a guy that likes getting around the rules. Guys, never date a girl that wants to slip around the rules. Whether they like them or not, they ought to learn to obey. It's a character trait that one gets, and a soldier gets that built into him to where he's an idiot when he goes in, and when he comes out, he's willing to jump on a hand grenade if he's told to. Number three, he completes tasks given. He's counted on. People are counting on him. If he's given a job, he's going to get it done or die trying. We have young people that can't seem to finish a semester of school, but yet they think they're going to be able to do the hard thing. We have young people that think that when an obstacle comes, and number four is overcome obstacles. When obstacles come, the best thing to do is to go around them. You listen to me carefully. You can't do that all your life. And the more you go around them, the less push-ups you can do. The less strength you have. Wrestled a tournament, and one of the teams had a kid during the weigh-ins. He walked over and everybody went. He was 6'4", 285 pounds. None of it like Quincy. I mean, he was stout. And everybody there, in fact, the heaviest you can be to wrestle in high school is 185. So he just made weight by being underneath it. He was an animal. And everybody was glad they weren't a heavyweight, except for the heavyweights. And he pinned our heavyweight in about 30 seconds. But you know, the fact is, you don't always get to choose who you go up against or what you go up against. But you learn to overcome obstacles. Every one of our quality wrestlers, especially our seniors that are gifted in wrestling, and they've got it and they're good. But they went up against wrestlers this week. Brother Mitchell, you were there. They went up against wrestlers this week that took them to task. And I'm watching them gasp for air in the second period. After wrestling only 2 minutes, they were physically spent because they hadn't gone up. They didn't think the opponent was that strong. And young people, to be a good soldier, you're going to have to learn to overcome obstacles. Things are going to come up. How many times have we heard preachers say that went to Hiles Anderson, boy, I had this go on in my church, but Brother Mitchell, they never taught me that in church ed. Every preacher in the world has said that. I never learned that in Bible college. You can't become an overcomer. You can't become somebody that overcomes hardships. You can't become somebody that endures to the end without being a good soldier. You got to listen to instruction. You got to obey orders. You got to complete tasks given. You got to overcome obstacles. You got to have the mind of a soldier, which is focused on devotion, duty, honor, and commitment. Those ought to be ingrained in your head. What's ingrained in your head is opportunity, freedom, happiness. Instead of devotion to the job that you're giving, the calling of God, the duty that you're to perform because you've been given an opportunity, doing it rightly and doing it well because you have honor in what you do, and be committed to finishing that task. Where are those kind of students? Where are they today? So why become a good soldier? We just defined what is a good soldier, but why? What's the use of it? Why should we become this kind of soldier that Paul was trying to tell Timothy to be? Well, let me give you four things. One, everyone, every one of you, everybody on the platform here, every teacher, everyone at some point is going to meet hardness. It's just going to happen. I mentioned this last time I preached. I performed a wedding for a young couple. Great, great kids. Charactered. 3 years after their marriage, we stood just a mile and a half from here at a graveside for an eight-month-old baby that passed away. And I said to her at the graveside, I said, 3 years ago, you never thought you'd be standing here, did you? She said, no, sir. But you know, they were good soldiers. They're faithful to church. They never missed their duty at church. They have a bright spirit. They haven't crawled into a deep hole. Why? Because they were soldiers. They were soldiers. Second reason is the Bible just flat out tells us to. We read what Paul told Timothy, that we ought to endure hardness as or like a good soldier. That's what we're supposed to do. That is our command to do. And if you're commanded to endure hardness like a good soldier, then you better be a good soldier. You better be good at what you do. You better be well studied. You better have some character. If I may, you know, back in our day, and I'm not trying to beat anybody down, but when I was in school and the days were colder than it was this week, I'm telling you right now, men slipped out of their dorms so they could go on their bus routes. Instead of taking it as a free day that we don't have to. Nobody made them. Nobody told them to. Nobody berated them for not doing it if they didn't. Or glorified him if they did. They just did it. They just did it. Number three, because others need us to. One, everybody at some point is going to meet hardness. Number two, the Bible tells us to. And number three, someone is going to need us to. There's going to be a church out there that you're the pastor of that's going to need you to stand true and strong during difficult days. Somebody's going to need some pastor's going to need an assistant pastor or a youth pastor to stand with him and to stay strong when they're going through very difficult times. Some family's going to need you to be a strong dad. Some family's going to need you to be a strong mom. And you won't be able to endure hardness if you have not become a good soldier, if you've mocked authority, if you slipped around the rules, you haven't strengthened your own body. Physically, you're weak, and mentally, you're weak. Brother Tom Vogel's book, he tells the story where he was sitting in a class where they were learning to read maps and compasses. And the point is so they could call in accurately an airstrike or a medical evac if somebody was injured. And he said he remembered a young man sitting next to him, a soldier sitting next to him, clowning around, goofing around, not paying attention, not taking it seriously. Then one day on the battlefield, they got attacked and many men were injured. Tom Vogel was not. A young man laying there at his feet was injured very, very badly, and Tom Vogel grabbed the radio and pulled it off a man that was injured, and he called in, got his map out, and he called in a medical evac, and while he was calling it in, he looked down at the man that had been clowning around in the class that he was in, and he made the thought, I wonder if he could have called in an evac for me if I'd have been injured. Young people, listen to me. You're going to be in a place. You're going to be in a home. You're going to be at a job. You're going to be at a church. You're going to be on a mission field somewhere where, you know what? You're the one in charge. People are looking to you. They're looking for somebody to be steadfast in a changing world, in a changing educational system around our country, in Christian education as well, in people being soft and softer and getting softer. It is somebody's going to have to stand tall in the saddle. Somebody's going to have to be strong. Somebody's going to have to be a good soldier. People need you. They need you. They're going to need you. And last, because it's the only way to be able to endure hardness is to become a good soldier. That's it. You got to follow the rules. You got to follow the guidelines. You got to build your body up. You got to build your mind up. You got to go through difficult things today. David looked at what he could do with Goliath by knowing what he did with a bear. And he realized that same fortitude and the same skill might work on a Goliath. And I guarantee you, the closer he got to the Goliath, the bigger Goliath became. But he knew what to do. He knew what to do. We need to stop finding excuses, as I mentioned earlier, and start figuring out solutions. We need to learn to play without the helmets. We need to learn to Read books about not just folks that have had wonderful ministries, but folks that have gone through trials and how God helped them and how in their wife stuck by their side. Young ladies, let me tell you something. This isn't just a sermon for men. Because if you read Proverbs 31 right, she wasn't a wallflower. She was a tough girl. She got her hands dirty. She provided for her family. She bought property. She wasn't idle. She was in for the count. She was tough. I sat in the home of Becky Martin and Rick Martin many years ago now. And she was cooking at her stove with a frying pan with a broken handle and with a spatula that was very worn. She was turning the water faucet on with a pair of pliers. And I began to ask her questions about America, and does she miss it, and does she get home enough, and does she get homesick? And finally, she got tired of me asking her those questions, and she threw her spatula down, and she put her hands on her hip, and she looked at me. She said, "You're trying to get me to complain." I said, "Yes, I am." "Well, I'm not going to. I love it here." And you know what? I believe she meant it. She said, "Brother Eddie, when I'm back in the States, I can't wait to get back here." That was 25 years ago. The hardness they've had to endure since that time was only done because she was a good soldier. She was a good soldier. She prepared herself for something far more difficult than she expected. So should you. As I mentioned, Ernest Shackleton took this voyage, thought it was going to be fun. But the advertisement he put out was men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of dark, complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. And he had more men than he could take. A two-year voyage that was supposed to only take a few months, never reaching South Pole, but getting marooned on an ice floe for 18 months, eating seals and penguins. Not one soldier, not one sailor died. Everybody was rescued. It is one of the most remarkable journeys of all time. And again, it's riveting to read it. Let me ask you something. Shackleton was willing to risk his life and suffer great hardships just to stand at the South Pole. You and I have the opportunity to enlist and become a soldier, ready to endure hardness for small wages, bitter cold, long months sometimes of loneliness and away from family, constant danger, but with a certainty to return to our Heavenly Father and sit at His feet. Would you be willing to sign up for that? Are you a soldier that could handle that? There are a lot of things Christianity needs today. And everybody's got something that they think it should be. But Paul told Timothy, you need to endure hardness. As a good soldier, you need to learn what it is to walk the walk first. So one day you can stand. I ask you just to bow your head, close your eyes. I'm not going to give an invitation. I'll let Brother Mitchell do what he feels to do. But stop taking the easy path, young people. I'm not sure why, but listen. Not to put you down, but I'm just telling you what I see. Most of you aren't ready for the Christian world with 4 years of college education. Many of you ought to go for your master's. And it's not because you're an idiot. It's not because you're dumb. It's not because you need more learning. You just need to learn more about soldiering. You need to work that bus route another year. You need to get papers due on time. You need to stress out a little bit more. Strengthen your cords. a bit. Didn't preach this, and I don't ever plan on beating you down. I love being here. I love teaching here. I love young people. And I want you to take that heart that you have for God and be able to use it for a lifetime. Not just a month or two until it gets difficult. Not just for 5 or 6 years until all of a sudden finances get pretty tough. But for your entire ministry. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message. I pray that it would prick our hearts. Make us think. In Jesus' name, amen.